You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on foxsports983.com and espnau.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. Welcome in. I'm glad you're joining me on this Tuesday afternoon. Bright and sunny skies here in Auburn, Alabama. It's so nice to see 2 days in a row now that the weather is in our favor. It's supposed to be nice all week, so I hope that that stays consistent. Great to see nice weather. Just glad to not have any rain. Let's just be honest. So, beautiful day. Doesn't look like a cloud in the sky. And sun is shining. Everybody's doing happy and doing well. So, I hope you are as well. Hope you're doing good, staying safe, and just having a great Tuesday here in the Auburn-Opelika area. Throughout Sylacauga and Birmingham and across the state of Alabama and across the country. Wherever you're listening from, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for tuning in. Great show on tap for you today. Here in hour number one at 2:30, I have a new guest on the show. We are staying consistent with the staying consistent with getting new guests on the show and also new beat writers on the show. Through the Auburn baseball season, I have been reaching out and getting opposing beat writers on the show. So, for example, last week, Auburn baseball had Mississippi State. I had a Mississippi State beat writer come on the show and preview Mississippi State, talk about the baseball team, you know, and just let us know, and you, the listener, what to expect from the series. I've got that again today. This week, Auburn hosts South Carolina at Plainsman Park. And so I have a beat writer coming on. His name is John Whittle. He is the South Carolina 24/7 sports writer. So he will be on today at 2:30 to talk about South Carolina, the baseball team over there, what to expect from them coming over from Columbia, and ultimately, what's the mojo around the program for South Carolina as they come to Auburn this weekend. So that will be at 2:30. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Still have a lot to talk about today here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Trevor, my show producer, is out sick today, so the phone lines are open, but I will answer your calls during the break. So if you have something you want to call in and talk to me about, catch me during the break. I'll answer your call, and I'll get you on the air. We can talk about anything you want to talk about, sports-related, here on the line, 334-321-1390, or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world that you want to talk about, I want to hear from you. What's your opinion? Anything going on in the sports world on your mind? I do want to hear from you again. I'll answer your phone calls during the commercial break. I am by myself in here today, so can't answer you on the air, but I will get you during the break. So make sure you give me a call, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. Also today, if you want to call in, we have 4 baseball tickets tonight as Auburn hosts Alabama State in another midweek non-conference game at Plainsman Park. First pitch is set for 6 o'clock tonight over at Plainsman Park. We've got 4 tickets to give away. All you've got to do is call in 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Call in during the break, give me your name, your number, and one lucky winner at the end of the show will be selected, and you will win 4 tickets to tonight's game. You can come by, swing by and pick them up right here at the station just off of Dean Road at Auburn Networks. You can come by and pick up your tickets and go to tonight's game against Alabama State at 6 o'clock. So again, 4 tickets, all you got to do, call in, give me your name and number during the break. I'll put you on the list. One lucky winner is going to win 4 tickets to Auburn baseball tonight. So call in. You do not have to go on the air. If you want to, fantastic. I'll get you on. We'll talk about anything. But if you just want to call in and put your name on the list, for Auburn baseball tickets, please do call in 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Also, what I'm going to do is for these baseball tickets, if you don't want to call in, you can also tweet at our Twitter account. That's ESPN1067. Just tweet out and say, you know, just not sure what exactly, but just say something along the lines of, you know, I want to enter my name into, you know, into the drawing for the Auburn baseball tickets, and make sure you tag us in the Twitter post and in your tweet at ESPN1067. Just tag us in that in the next couple of hours between 2 and 4. That's our showtime, obviously. If you can tweet something out about it and tag us in it, that will also count as an entry. You cannot have a phone call entry and a social media entry, but if you don't want to call in, you can do it that way as well. So many ways to enter for these baseball tickets. I've got four of them for the game tonight against Alabama State over at Plainsman Park. So lots going on the show, so make sure you get involved. Call in during the breaks. You can enter for the baseball tickets. You can talk to me. A lot going on, but let's jump into it here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We're going to start with the NBA playoffs because last night it continued. Fantastic basketball last night. There were some great games going on. And the league should be proud of themselves. The NBA should really be proud of themselves because the playoffs, they've been going on for 3 days now since Saturday. And every single day has been extremely entertaining. I mean, it's just been awesome to watch all of these games. Last night was no different. You started out with the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors, then the Utah Jazz and the Dallas Mavericks, and then the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors. You know, I want to ask you guys, the listeners, everybody listening out there, do you watch the NBA playoffs? And if you do, why do you watch it? And if you don't watch it, that may be the more popular answer. If you don't watch the NBA playoffs, why not? It doesn't matter to me. I just want to hear your opinion. I want to know why you do or you don't watch the NBA or the NBA playoffs. Maybe you just watch the regular season and you don't watch the playoffs. Or maybe you don't watch the regular season and you do watch the playoffs. That's what I do. I'll be honest, that's what I do. I keep up with it during the entire season. I love keeping up with everything going on. But it's really hard for me to sit down and watch an NBA regular season game. And so I want to hear from you guys during the break. Call in. I want to hear from you and what you think about the NBA, why you watch it or why you don't. There's no wrong answers. I just want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. But diving into last night's games, the scores are a little, I don't know, they don't tell the whole picture, if you will. When you look at Philadelphia and Toronto in the East, it's a 4 seed versus the 5 seed, Toronto. This was game 2. Philadelphia was already up 1-0 after winning over the weekend. They beat Toronto 112-97. Of course, Philadelphia has Joel Embiid and James Harden, and also Tyrese Maxey, a guy that has just sprung on to the league. I mean, he has just been playing absolute fantastic basketball. When you look at his last 5 games, how about last 6 games? 23 points, 38 points, 25 points, 18 points, 22 points, and 30 points. I mean, he's averaging, I mean, just a ridiculous amount of points right now. This season, he's averaging 17.5 points per game. He shoots 48.5% as a guard. That's unbelievable. He has really become a third option for this Philadelphia 76ers team to add on with Joel Embiid and James Harden. Of course, the 76ers picking up James Harden during the trade period. They traded with Brooklyn, and they've sent a ton of players to Brooklyn. Seth Curry, Ben Simmons, he has not played yet, but I did see today where Ben Simmons got cleared to have like physical activity, basically like physical practices. Now he's not back fully, but he has like contact practices, kind of like in football when you can put the pads back on. You know, same thing with basketball with Ben Simmons. So he is inching closer and closer to coming back for Brooklyn. But when you talk about this Philadelphia 76ers team, they're up 2-0 on Toronto, and they've kind of done it any way they want. They won game one by 20 points. It was 131-111, and last night was no different, 112-97. So I know I said that there wouldn't be any sweeps. I said yesterday at the end of the show I would like to retract my statement because of Phoenix and New Orleans, because I think that will be a sweep in the favor of Phoenix. I don't think this one will be a sweep. I like Toronto to try and get at least one win at home, whether it's game three or game four. Surely the Raptors, they're a five seed. It's not like they're a bad ball club. Surely they can get a win at home against this Philadelphia team, because all it takes to beat the 76ers is let them beat themselves. When they have a bad shooting night, it's over for this Philadelphia 76er team. So I think Toronto, you've got to get a game at home. You got to even up the series. If you come out of Toronto and it's 3-1 going back to Philadelphia, that's not looking good if you're the Raptors. So Philadelphia currently up 2-0 on Toronto in that series there in round one. And then what I think was the game of the night, it was on NBA TV, so I don't know how many people actually got to watch it. I did, and it was awesome, man. It was so much fun. The Utah Jazz is the 5 seed at the Dallas Mavericks, the 4 seed over in the West. The big story coming out of this series, we're 2 games in, and one of the best players in the NBA, Luka Doncic, has still not played. He is still hurt. He's still recovering. There's a chance he comes back for game three, but this is one of the most exciting players in all of the NBA, and he has not yet played. But Utah wins game one, okay? The Jazz, they won game one over the weekend. It was 99-93, a Utah Jazz win in game one on Saturday. Close game. Very low scoring, too. Playoffs, when they play defense, I always say it, when they play defense, it's crazy what happens. But last night was just back and forth, back and forth. And Dallas evens up the series heading on the road to Utah, 110-104. And it was crazy, but at the end of the game, the play-by-play announcer, he said, Dallas steals a game at home. They steal a game at home. Think about that. Dallas, I mean, look, without Luka Doncic, they were not expected to win these games against Utah. They had to steal a game on their home floor to keep themselves alive, because when Luka comes back, that gives them the edge. There's no doubt about it. Luka gives this team an edge over the Utah Jazz, for sure. I don't know how far they can get into the playoffs, but I mean, hey, they're a 4 seed. They're doing something right. And Dallas was able to even up the series, but coming down the stretch, they were trading bucket after bucket after bucket. And it wasn't like in the regular season where everybody just kind of stood around and let everybody do what they wanted to do on offense. No, the defense was intense, and there was quite a few defensive stops. But here's how it went. When one team would get a defensive stop on one end, the other team would come right back and get another defensive stop. And then the other team would come down and hit a big-time three. Well, the other team would come down, and they would hit a big-time three. Back and forth for the entire fourth quarter, really the second half. I mean, really, really the second half. And man, it was exciting. I'm not even a fan of either one of these teams, but I found myself in my chair last night at home after I got home from work, and I was like, I was all about it. I was hyped up watching this game because it was so much fun. And it ended up being Dallas who's outscored the Jazz by 10 in the fourth quarter. So the back and forth, yes, but they obviously took advantage and had a few more buckets, and they end up winning 110-104. About 5 of those points were free throws down the stretch, so, you know, take that for what you will. But that was the game of the night. There's no doubt about it. Game of the night was Dallas and Utah. That's a tied series at 1 apiece, heading back to Utah. And folks, this is just round one. This is just round one, and we haven't even finished up from last night. The last game of the night last night was the number 6 seed Denver Nuggets at the number 3 Golden State Warriors. Look, man, this Warriors team, after last night, they're dangerous. They are really, really good, really, really dangerous. And what makes them so good is they have so many different lineups that they can throw at you, because the Splash Brothers with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they've expanded. They've had another child, if you will. They've added one. They now have a guy who has come out of nowhere, who was given a chance by the Warriors, and he has taken advantage of every opportunity for him. Jordan Poole is an absolute baller. He is. The guy can play, and he can hang. He is so good, and he has taken advantage of his role so well. I mean, he is on another level right now in his career. Steph Curry has been battling with a foot injury over the last couple of weeks. And so you know what the Warriors did? Jordan Poole had been playing so good off the bench that the Warriors said, okay, while Steph is getting back to 100%, let's put Jordan Poole in the starting lineup and see how that works. And it worked fantastic. It worked unbelievable. He's playing the best basketball of his entire career right now. Look at his last 10 games. 26. This is starting from March 27th to now. 20. These are his point totals. 26, 25, 38, 31, 22, 19, 18, 22. Then in the playoffs, 30 and 29. And you know who's been starting? Jordan Poole. Because Steph Curry is on a minutes restriction trying to get completely healthy and not rush himself back. But how strong is that, that the Warriors have a guy in his first two playoff starts drops 30 points and 29 points, and he's not shooting 100 times. In game one, he dropped 30 points on 9 of 13 shooting, 5 of 7 from the three-point line, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, had 3 assists, 3 turnovers, sure. And then last night, 29 points, 10 of 16 shooting, 50% from 3, 5 of 10, 4 for 4 from the free throw line, 5 boards, 8 assists, 2 turnovers, and 2 steals. And a block. This is a starting point guard. This guy could start as the point guard on any team in the NBA. Change my mind. Right now he could, 100%. And you know what the Warriors did? Not only did Jordan Poole, as the starting point guard, drop 29 points, Klay Thompson, as the superstar that he is, your starting shooting guard, yeah, he dropped 21 points, 3 of 8 from the 3. He only dropped a cool 21. Andrew Wiggins, he was in double digits with 13. You've got Draymond Green, who is the most impactful non-scorer the NBA has ever seen. They said that last night, and I'm saying it too. He is the most impactful non-scorer in the entire NBA history. Change my mind on that. That's just unbelievable. He only had 6 points. But you know what he did? Here's what Draymond Green brings to the table when you are the Golden State Warriors. The guy had 6 points. He had 3 boards, 6 assists, only 1 turnover, 3 steals, and a block. His differential is plus 20. His defense is elite. He stopped Nikola Jokic multiple times last night. Multiple times. I mean, the guy is so good and such an impact on this team. Look, I'm not the biggest Draymond Green fan. I used to not be pretty big, but I kind of am now. You got to respect it. He doesn't score a whole lot. And last night, he had 6 points, and you know he had 2 field goals. So scoring, he didn't do a whole lot. But he does everything else so well that he is a starter on this team for sure. But you know what the Warriors did? They have a starting point guard right now who's dropping 29 points, and their sixth man off the bench. Oh yeah, did you forget Steph Curry? He is still playing. All he did was drop 34 points off the bench. That's it. He came off the bench, dropped 34 points, 12 of 17 from the field, 5 of 10 from the 3, 5 of 7 free throw line. I'm surprised it wasn't 100%. 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 turnovers, a steal, and a block. This team is unstoppable right now. Unstoppable right now. Let's continue this conversation because I'm having a lot of fun. We're just underway here in the Tuesday edition of On the Line. If you have anything you want to talk about, now's the time to call. We're heading to a break. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Also call in. We've got 4 baseball tickets to give away. Auburn baseball hosting Alabama State tonight at Plainsman Park, 6 o'clock. Call in. Give me your name and number. We'll put you on the list. 1 winner is going to win all 4. Let's head to break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. just a few more minutes before we head to the 2:30 break here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. That's 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. I appreciate everybody tuning into the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm by myself in the studio. My show producer, Trevor, is out sick today, so hopefully he gets better and can be back tomorrow in here to help me out a little bit. But phone lines are, well, I guess technically they're closed right now. Since I am by myself, I have to answer your calls during the commercial breaks. But coming out of the next commercial break, stay tuned because John Whittle, South Carolina 24/7 Sports, he will be on the show to talk about South Carolina baseball, preview the style of play they are, you know, what their strengths, their weaknesses, that sort of thing, and also preview the series as they travel here to Auburn this weekend to take on the Tigers over at Plainsman Park. So that will be at 2:30, so make sure you stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. That'll be a fantastic phone call. A new guest here on the show, so really excited to have him on. We do have tickets to give away for Auburn baseball tonight. I know it is a little late, but we still have time to give away four Auburn baseball tickets to the game against Alabama State tonight. All you got to do is call in, give me your name and your number, and I will put you on the list. One lucky winner will win four tickets to the baseball game tonight against Alabama State, the Auburn baseball game against Alabama State over at Plainsman Park. First pitch is set for 6 o'clock, so you can enter two ways. You can call in, give me your name and number, and I'll put you on the list. You do not have to come on the air. Or you can tweet at us at ESPN 106.7 and say you're interested. Say you want to put your name on the list. And one lucky winner from either the phones or social media will win four tickets to Auburn baseball versus Alabama State tonight at Plainsman Park. So make sure you try and do that. Trying to give them away here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We have just a couple of minutes before we head to the break. But first, want to update you about a little contest we have going on here at Auburn Networks. The Auburn Network family of radio stations is once again teaming up to help you with your spring cleaning this year. Win a driveway and patio pressure wash from Sir Wash-A-Lot and Auburn Pressure Washing. And win a steel handheld blower from University Ace Hardware. To enter, text the word SPRING, S-P-R-I-N-G, to 59925. That's the word SPRING to 59925. Or register online at ESPNAU.com under the contest tab. We'll give away the spring cleaning prize package on Friday, April 29th, during the Donnie B. Morning Show. So make sure you do that as well. Some great stuff. You can win a driveway and patio pressure wash from Sir Wash-A-Lot and Auburn Pressure Washing, and win a the Steel brand, a handheld blower from University Ace Hardware. So some good stuff there in the spring cleaning event going on here at Auburn Network. So make sure you check that out as well. But right before we head to break, the Warriors are good, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you from the last segment. The Warriors are unbelievable, and they've only gotten better. With Jordan Poole stepping up like he has, watch out. The Warriors are a force to be reckoned with. They beat Denver last night 126-106. They're currently up 2-0 as they head back to Denver. So NBA playoffs, they've been a lot of fun. I expect it to do the same and be just as good, if not better, from here on out. So looking forward to it. If you don't watch the NBA, I recommend that you do. But make sure you stay tuned. Again, we've got John Whittle, the South Carolina 24/7 sports writer. He will be on when we come back from the break to talk about all things South Carolina baseball. Also going to ask him about how the what's the mojo around the football program with Spencer Rattler coming in as well. So make sure you stay tuned. Yeah, make sure you stay tuned for that. Sorry, I was looking at something real quick. Yeah, make sure you stay tuned for that. And that's going to be a great interview as well. But NBA, of course, you have more games tonight. The 8th-seeded Atlanta Hawks visiting the 1-seed Miami Heat. The Heat are currently up 1-0 in that series after winning Game 1. They are favored by 7.5 points at home tonight, are the Heat. I like Atlanta to bounce back in this game. Maybe not win, but they got blown out in Game 1. It was kind of ugly, especially down the stretch. It was 115-91, and it wasn't even that close when you watch the game. So I look for Atlanta to play better tonight. Definitely do not take me and my word for this, but I would like Atlanta +7.5 if you're, you know, if you bet for fun and keep up with it that way. Obviously, you know, for fun and all that, but Atlanta +7.5. Again, I like them to keep it close. I like Trae Young to bounce back. He had a rough game in game one. So I look for him to have a big game scoring tonight, a big impact for the Hawks. I still like the Heat to win. I think they're just the better team. Timberwolves and Grizzlies tonight as well. Timberwolves stealing game one in Memphis. I think Memphis bounces back. I think John Morant, he puts this team on his back, and the Grizzlies get game two tonight. Phoenix and New Orleans, I look for Phoenix to blow them out again. So I think the game of the night is going to be the Heat and the Hawks. I think the other two may be kind of blowouts, and I just think that's the way it's going to go. And again, I know I talked about last week that I didn't think any sweeps were going to happen, but I didn't know New Orleans was going to make the playoffs, and so I like the Suns to sweep New Orleans. You know, credit to the Pelicans for getting to the playoffs without Zion. Obviously, he has not been playing. He's been injured, I mean, pretty much the whole time he's been in the league. So credit to them for getting to the playoffs, especially since they were like 10 games under 500. But they won their two play-in games they're in. But unfortunately, their reward was the number one team in the entire NBA, the Phoenix Suns. But man, how awesome would it be to see Phoenix and Golden State? The Suns are the one seed, and Golden State is the three seed. They would be in the semifinal in the Western Conference. That may be one of the best series of the entire NBA playoffs. That, I mean, it could happen. It could happen. Both teams are playing so good. I don't know who would win. It's going to be exciting. Watch the NBA playoffs, folks. I'm telling you. You're missing out if you're not. Let's head to break. We'll have John Whittle on of South Carolina 24/7 Sports when we come back. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. 30 minutes into hour number one, which means you guessed it, 30 more minutes left in hour number one. Still giving away 4 Auburn baseball tickets tonight against Alabama State for 6 o'clock first pitch over at Plainsman Park. So make sure you try to get involved with that. The phone lines are closed right now because we're about to have a guest. But you can tweet at us at ESPN 106.7 and just say you're interested to put your name in there, and we will contact you. One lucky winner is going to win 4 Auburn baseball tickets to Alabama State tonight over at Plainsman Park at 6 o'clock. But first, we have a new guest here on the show, John Whittle of South Carolina 24/7 Sports Writer. John, thank you for your time. Welcome in.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, John, we are trying to keep up with the trend I've had here on the show as Auburn baseball throughout the season. Obviously, every weekend is a new SEC series, and I've tried to reach out and get a new beat writer on the show to give the listeners a different perspective about the team that Auburn will be facing this weekend. So wanted to bring you on and see what you had to say about South Carolina baseball. And first off, I want to ask you, up to this point in the season, when you look at South Carolina, the Gamecocks, the baseball team, how did they get to this point in the season?
Well, it's been an interesting ride for South Carolina this year. They came into the year not really having enough pitching to be able to compete in the SEC. They really had two kind of frontline guys, and what they really needed to have happen was for them to be kind of the lighter and rocker that Vanderbilt had last year and just, you know, shoulder the load. But one of those guys, was having a little bit of arm problems before the season started, and they thought he'd be back in about a month, and, you know, he's going to end up being out for the season. So add in the fact that he was a number two starter, number three starter, number four starter have both gone down with injuries, and they've been out since the second week of the season and are going to be out for the year. And this was already a thin pitching staff. South Carolina's got probably 5 guys on their roster who I would feel fairly comfortable putting into an SEC series. And when you consider that, like, what they've been able to do from a pitching standpoint has been pretty remarkable. If you look at league-only games, they're I think ninth or tenth in the league in ERA, and that's crazy in my estimation. But you know, they're very short-handed from a pitching staff standpoint. You get into the bullpen, and you're going to be doing just fine. And then from an offensive standpoint, you know, they're playing four freshmen every day in the lineup. And you look at the league, you look across the league this year, and so many teams are having third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year guys throughout the lineup. And, you know, South Carolina's just been a little bit overmatched offensively too. So, you know, they're keeping their head above water, to some degree, right now, but, it's very perilous.
Talking to John Whittle, the South Carolina 24/7 sports writer, talking to him about South Carolina baseball as they travel to Auburn this weekend. John, the Gamecocks are 18-17 overall, 6-9 in conference play. You know, just looking down their schedule, they had a non-con series against Clemson where they got swept. They had some tough competition. They had a series against Texas. They started SEC play against Tennessee and then with Vanderbilt. How has the schedule impacted this South Carolina team down the way?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly had some something to do with it, for sure. You know, South Carolina's played four teams that have been ranked number one in the country at some point, and they've actually won three of those series when you consider Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, in Texas. They won three of those series and swept by Tennessee. You know, South Carolina, we talked about the pitching injuries. They lost two of the guys that we talked about earlier the second weekend of the season, and Clemson was the third weekend, and they were trying to figure things out and trying to get guys built up from a pitch count standpoint, because they turned a couple of relievers into starting pitchers. But they certainly weren't stretched out that way and ended up, anyway, long story short, got swept by Clemson the third week of the season. And it's been a challenge in a lot of respects since then. But they've won some big series, obviously. They lost a home series to Georgia, another top 15 team. They lost a road series to Missouri, which, you know, was certainly a bad deal to go up there and lose to those guys. But, you know, the schedule on the second half of league play is a little bit easier, and that's no disrespect to Auburn or anybody else that's on the schedule. Alabama comes in and to South Carolina in 2 weeks. No disrespect to either of those teams, but, you know, South Carolina's played a whole bunch of number one teams in the country. Like, it's quote-unquote easier, but it's not easy. So, you know, the schedule is a little bit different the second half of the way. They do have three of their five series on the road, but is still going to be a really difficult deal for South Carolina to win enough games to make it into the NCAA tournament.
Talking to John Whittle of 24/7 Sports for South Carolina, what type of baseball does this team play? And when I ask that question, I say maybe the strengths and the weaknesses. You've already alluded to the pitching a little bit being a weakness down, you know, in the last couple of weeks. But what are the strengths and the weaknesses of this baseball team right now as it stands for South Carolina?
Well, if you pull up the SEC stats for the entire season, South Carolina is at the bottom of the SEC. And when I say bottom, I mean 14th. I don't mean bottom half, bottom third. I mean at the very bottom of basically every offensive category. So you pull up the SEC-only stats, and, you know, they're a little bit better, a little bit more competitive. They're towards the middle of the league in doubles, towards the middle of the league in home runs. They've been a little bit better against SEC competition than they have overall. You know, they've like I mentioned earlier, they've got a bunch of freshmen who are just a little bit physically overmatched right now, and maybe they get a little bit better in the second half of SEC play now that they've been through it a little bit, or maybe they've just hit a wall and just physically can't do it at this point. But that's part of it. Brant Belk, who is a Missouri transfer, is having a great year. He's second in the league in batting average. He'll hit leadoff. He's hitting. He's right behind Tim Elko in batting average. He's hitting .396 this year in league play. So he's been really good. Andrew Eister is kind of Andrew Weister and Josiah Seitler are going to be there in the middle of the order. Those guys are supposed to provide a little bit of power, and Seitler's top 10 in the league in slugging percentage. Eister's been really good early on, but hasn't really had the success in league play this year as he had the last couple of years. So, right now this team has been struggling offensively. There are a couple of guys who are showing a little bit more in terms of putting together some better at bats. Michael Braswell is a freshman shortstop who started out the year phenomenally. He was great against Clemson. He was great against Texas. He was great in the 4 weeks leading into the season. But when league play hit, he started out really poorly. He's barely above 100, batting above 100 in the league. But his at-bats have been better. The average is coming up a little bit here the last couple of weeks. It wouldn't surprise me if he had a nice weekend this weekend with the way he's been actually swinging it. He's making some better passes at the ball. But, it's an offensive team that's not going to have a whole lot of power in there. But they haven't struck out a lot. They've walked a little bit. They just haven't gotten enough hits. Is the bottom line. They put the ball in play, but there's just not a whole lot of force behind it from a lot of these guys. And it's been a lot of flyouts from home run hitters who can't get the ball over the wall yet because they're young. These ground balls are just not getting through the infield. It's just been a little bit of a challenging experience for some of these guys.
Talking to John Whittle of 24/7 Sports for South Carolina, the Gamecocks. A couple more questions about baseball. So now that you've kind of previewed us a little bit of what this South Carolina team is, what's the scouting report for Auburn as South Carolina travels to Plainsman Park this weekend for a 3-game series?
Well, I haven't dug too deep into Auburn just yet, but I know that they've put together a nice season so far. They've been very. It seems like they've been very balanced. From an offensive standpoint. And from a pitching staff standpoint, they certainly go much deeper than South Carolina has been, on the mound and have had some guys doing it. But obviously you look at Sonny DiTierra, how you say that with what he's been able to do this year, not only from an average standpoint but from a power standpoint. He's up there, one of the best in the league, and. He doesn't strike out a ton either, and you look at Auburn, some of Auburn's numbers, and they don't have the high. They got a couple of high strikeout guys, but they got a lot of high walk guys too. So got some on base percentage guys. It looks to me. I haven't been able to watch them too much. I've had a couple of games on at various times, but they look like a very balanced team overall. That's been able to put together. A much better season than I kind of thought they were going into the year.
John Whittle of 24/7 Sports for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Final question about baseball. With all of that being said, with South Carolina and Auburn, what are you expecting to see from the series this weekend between the Gamecocks and the Tigers?
Well, South Carolina is basically, I don't want to say conceding Friday night games, but, it's kind of where they are. They've got two reliable starting pitchers, and like I said, they've got about five pitchers in total who have a chance to be good on the weekends. And two of those guys are coming out of the bullpen, and then they've got a guy who they're starting on Friday nights. And Friday night is just not set up for them to be very good. It's almost as though they concede that game on a weekend and then have to play perfect baseball on a Saturday and Sunday. And Noah Hall it will be the Saturday starting pitcher, and Will Sanders will be the Sunday starting pitcher. And Sanders is probably going to be a top 20 pick overall next year. I mean, he's that good. Sophomore Team USA guy last year. South Carolina has to win those games to win a series. And, if you get lucky on a Friday night, then it is what it is. But, so I pretty much concede Friday night, the way South Carolina is setting it up. I understand why they're doing it that way, but you know, any team is going to have an advantage on South Carolina on any given weekend because of the state of South Carolina's pitching staff. I mean, I lean towards Auburn to win the series, but this South Carolina team, they've battled hard even in the SEC series. They've lost to Georgia and Missouri. It took them blowing a late game lead because of the bullpen to lose those two series. South Carolina should probably be sitting here right now with four SEC series wins and five chances, and they're not. So, you know, they've been right there to win every series except for the one against Tennessee. I think they'll be right there this weekend, but I would tend to lean towards what Auburn has and what they're doing right now.
John Whittle of 24/7 Sports for the South Carolina Gamecocks. Let's transition. I've got one question about football, and I'll let you get out of here. You've been a great guest. Obviously, the news with South Carolina football, Spencer Rattler on campus. He's now the starter, or maybe not the starter yet, but he's the big-name quarterback on the South Carolina football roster. What's the mojo around the program right now coming out of the spring?
No, he's the starter. He's the starter. You can say it. No, it's fine. He is certainly one of a lot of optimism around here. You know, Shane Beamer's entering his second year as head coach, and last year was much better than expected, to be honest with you. They went 6-6 in the regular season, won the bowl game over North Carolina, a top 10 team in the preseason, and a border rival, obviously. So there's been a lot of positive energy around the program, and that's what Shane Beamer is all about. Having a culture of positivity, just a positive environment, and that's kind of resonated with the folks around here at South Carolina. And you know, they were able to bring in, you know, some guys from the transfer portal, namely Spencer Rattler, but a couple of other guys who are going to be really helpful too, and Antoine Wells, a wide receiver from James Madison, who set school records up there in 1 year. Devonnie Reed, a safety from Central Michigan, who was a all-league selection and starter up there for a couple of years. Austin Stogner, a former four-star tight end. Like they're really happy with what they've been able to do in the transfer portal. And Spencer Rattler obviously is a huge deal. I mean, he was instantly the best quarterback that South Carolina has ever recruited to campus. And you know, a couple of the other guys who weren't far behind him, you know, didn't pan out here. So there's a lot of hope and a lot of optimism around here because, you know, Spencer's done it on the college stage before. Obviously, he was beaten out by Caleb Williams at Oklahoma, and things didn't work out there for him. But you know what? If you get beat out by a guy who's up for the Heisman Trophy, it doesn't mean you're a crappy quarterback. He's done an okay job at this game before at this level. So, you know, I think he's got a real chance to be pretty good here in South Carolina, and he's got a few pieces around here to work with. So, you know, I'm not saying that South Carolina is going to be in contention to win the East or anything like that, but I feel like this program has some positive momentum and going in the right direction.
Well, John Whittle of 24/7 Sports with South Carolina, you've been great, man. We really appreciate your time. I've really enjoyed listening to you. Let all of our listeners know where they can keep up with you and your work.
Absolutely. We're at thebigspur.com, 24/7 sports site for South Carolina, and love working with those guys over there at Auburn, too. You got some great folks over there at that 24/7 site. But thebigspur.com, cover football, basketball, baseball from top to bottom, and, you know, we have a blast over there doing it. So, anytime you need anything on South Carolina, hop on by.
Well, we appreciate your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And, again, we really appreciate your time, John.
Absolutely. See y'all on Friday.
That was John Whittle here on 24 or of 24/7 Sports for South Carolina. Of course, he's talking about See You Friday with South Carolina baseball coming to Auburn this weekend to take on the Tigers in a three-game series. What a great interview, man. What a great interview that was. He really knows his stuff. Talked a lot of baseball and then a little bit of football right there at the end. So if you're just now tuning in, missed any of that interview, it'll be in the podcast today after the show. So make sure you go and find that. We thank John Whittle of 24/7 Sports with South Carolina for his time today on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Let's take a break. We'll wrap up our number one. When we come back, you're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. We have just a couple of minutes before we head to the 3 o'clock break here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. If you're just now tuning in, or if you missed any of the John Whittle interview, he is the 24/7 sports writer for South Carolina Gamecocks. Man, what a great interview that just was. If you missed any of it, we talked a lot of South Carolina baseball as they travel to Auburn. They come to the Plains this weekend to take on Auburn baseball over at Plainsman Park. And we also asked him a question about the football team with Spencer Rattler over there and what the hype is about over in South Carolina. So, great interview. We appreciate his time coming on the program. So, if you missed any of that, you can catch it on the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Just got about a minute before we head to the break. Hour number one has been a great one. We've talked about couple of different things. Again, we appreciate John Whittle coming on to the program to preview South Carolina baseball. They've had a tough schedule, man. I was looking through it before the show, obviously getting ready for that interview and just listening to him talk and looking at the schedule again. Brutal, man. So far this season, South Carolina baseball has played four different teams that have been ranked number one in the country. That's wild. That is a wild stat, which shows how good the SEC is. Not all of those were SEC teams, but they've played Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Texas. I mean, they've played some really, really good teams. They've got another tough matchup, obviously, with Auburn this weekend. They have Georgia. South Carolina, man, they've got a tough schedule in baseball, but that's just the SEC. The SEC is a tough conference, and as you all know, not just in baseball, but every sport they got in college, SEC, they're going to be there. Hour number one officially in the book. Stick around for hour number two. You're listening to On the Line.
You are On the Line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on foxsports983.com and espnau.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. Hour number one officially in the books, which means hour number two is officially underway right here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 in Birmingham and Sylacauga. I appreciate everybody tuning in here to hour number two of On the Line. If you missed any of hour number one, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded following today's show. Make sure you stick around from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. I will be running the board for them again today. Their show producer, Drew, is out for the week, so I ran their board yesterday. They let me, they had me come on in a few segments and talk a few things with them. So make sure you stay tuned. So I'll be on the controls for The Drive today from 4 to 6. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I'm sure I'll get a chance to jump in or two with those guys. But they have a couple of big time guests. So great show on tap for them. But before that, hour number two of On the Line right here on ESPN and Fox Sports. So, hour number one in the books. Again, if you missed any of it, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We have a couple of things going on here with Auburn Networks. First of all, the Auburn Network family of radio stations is once again teaming up to help you with your spring cleaning this year. Win a driveway and patio pressure wash from Sir Wash-A-Lot and Auburn Pressure Washing. And win a steel-branded handheld blower from from University Ace Hardware. To enter, text the word SPRING, that's S-P-R-I-N-G, to 59925. That's the word SPRING to 59925. Or register online at ESPNAU.com under the contest tab. We'll give away the spring cleaning prize package on Friday, April 29th during the Donnie B morning show. So that is next Friday. They will give that away. So that is going on here at Auburn Networks. And also here on today's show on the line, we've got four tickets for Auburn baseball at Alabama, or not at Alabama State, Auburn baseball hosting Alabama State tonight over at Plainsman Park at 6 o'clock. I've got four tickets to give away. Somebody's got to use them. It may as well be you. Give me a call. Give me your name and number during the break. I am by myself today. Trevor is out sick, my show producer, so hopefully he's at home getting rest and getting better. So call in during the break. And give me your name and number. I'll put your name on the list. And one lucky winner is going to take four Auburn baseball tickets versus Alabama State tonight over at Plainsman Park at 6 o'clock. You can call in to enter, or on Twitter, you can get on and tweet at us, ESPN1067. And you can say, you know, this is my entry for the ticket giveaway. I'm interested in the ticket giveaway. Whatever you want to say. But make sure you tag us at ESPN1067. And again, one lucky winner between social media and the phones is going to win four tickets to Alabama State tonight at Plainsman Park, 6 o'clock. So if you're interested, if you're looking for something to do tonight, it's a beautiful day. Maybe it should be a good evening. Auburn hopefully gets another midweek victory for Auburn baseball. But if you're looking for something to do tonight and something free, call in, give me your name and number, and one lucky winner is going to win four tickets to the baseball game tonight against Alabama State. Again, or you can tweet at ESPN1067, and that can count as an entry as well. No double entries. You can't do the social media and the phone call, but look, somebody's got to have them, so may as well be you. So you can do that as well. We're giving those away here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. You'll have to call during the breaks. Of course, I'm by myself, so I can't answer you on the air. But during the commercial breaks, I'll answer your call. We'll get you set up and ready to go. So if you have anything on your mind in the sports world, I do want to hear from you and hear what you have to say. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. We had a handful of callers yesterday. It was fantastic. A lot of different opinions about the USFL and a couple different things with college football. So it's always fun when you guys get involved, all the listeners get involved. I want to hear from you and what you have to say about anything in the sports world, anything we're talking about here on the show. Call in today, just call in during the breaks, and I'll get you on. I promise I'll get you on. So call in 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's start hour number two like we always do with Making Headlines.
Making Headlines.
So, making headlines today, the NBA playoffs off and running. They continue on. Tonight will be day four of the NBA playoffs of round one in the Eastern and Western conferences. And last night's results, fantastic. Another great night of NBA basketball last night. Three games. They were still good games, but they were probably, besides one, there was three games last night. Two of them were, I don't even want to say that. I think they were all exciting. Now, the scores weren't exactly close in two of them, but leading up to the fourth quarter, they were fantastic games. Game one last night, it was actually game two, but the first game last night was the four-seeded Philadelphia 76ers and the five-seeded Toronto Raptors. 76ers, they defeat the Raptors 112-97. And, of course, the star players for the 76ers got it done. Joel Embiid, as good as he is, got 31 points. Tyrese Maxey, 23 points. Tobias Harris, 20 points. James Harden, 14 points. And Danny Green with 11 points. Man, that's a fantastic starting lineup if you're the Philadelphia 76ers. There are some offensive juggernauts on that team right now, especially with Tyrese Maxey playing as good as he is playing right now. Philadelphia, offensive clinic. They shot 52% from the field as a team, 46% from three as a team, 86%, almost 87% from the free throw line as a team. I mean, that's just unheard of. They had 20 assists, did have 14 turnovers, but obviously didn't matter because they win 112-97. I just think the Raptors are just outmatched. I really do. I think the Raptors are just outmatched. Philadelphia takes a 2-0 lead over Toronto, heading to Toronto for game three. You know, look, I mean, the Raptors have some guys, right? Siakam and Van Vliet, of course, they're still there from the championship season with Kawhi. But I just think the Raptors are outmatched, man. I mean, you've got a guy with Gary Trent Jr., the starting center for Toronto, didn't score at all. That's just tough. Now, you did have Chris Boucher is his name off of the bench for Toronto. He did have 17 points, which is nice. That's big time. But your starters have to produce. And when Philadelphia's starters are all in double digits and you have two guys, one of them that scored single digits and the other one didn't score a single point, I mean, you're just outmatched at that point. You're going to, you know. And it was really the second quarter that did it for Philadelphia. They outscored Toronto 35-19 in the second quarter. They were down by one heading to the second, and then they just took advantage in the second quarter, did Philadelphia. So they are up 2-0 on Toronto heading back to Canada for game three. I don't see this as a sweep. I like Toronto to win at least one game on their home floor, whether it's three or four. I like them to pick up one of those wins. I just don't see them getting swept. They do have enough talent to win a game. I mean, they are the 5 seed in the East, so they're not a bad ball club. They do have some talent. I just think they're outmatched when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers. And the way they're going to have to do it, if you're Toronto, the Raptors are going to have to catch the 76ers on an off night. Either that or just step up your defense even more. Because the starters right now for Philadelphia, I mean, when you watch it and you look at the score sheet and the stats, they're doing whatever they want to do. They are scoring at will, and they are doing whatever they want to do on the basketball floor. So Toronto is going to have to figure out a way to play some defense and just catch Philadelphia on an off night, because it does happen. The 76ers team is not perfect. They're the 4 seed for a reason. They go through stretches where the offense struggles. James Harden struggles. Joel Embiid struggles at times. You see this, and so it's coming for the Philadelphia 76ers. It's coming, I'm telling you. So hopefully, I guess, I don't know. Hopefully for the Raptors' sake, they can catch Philadelphia on an off night and on their home floor and try to get back into this series as they trail 0-2. The second game, which was the absolute game of the night last night in the NBA, the 5-seeded Utah Jazz, they went to Dallas for game two. The Jazz win game one. They were up 1-0 in this series, and this was an absolute dogfight. This was Rocky and Creed back and forth just going at it in Dallas last night. Of course, the Mavericks are without Luka Doncic, their star player, one of the best players, one of the most exciting players in all of the NBA. This was the second game in a row he did not play, and it did matter. The Dallas Mavericks pull out a big-time win, 110-104 on their home floor. They hope to get Luka back for Game 3. He's having some injury problems, trying to come back. They're trying not to rush it, and that's a gamble. You know, that was a gamble. If they lost both games on their home floor and have to go to Utah down 0-2, that's a tall task to ask if you're Dallas. But they do get the Game 2 win at home. It's a 1-1 series. This was back and forth all night long. Dallas gets a couple more points down the stretch in the fourth quarter. They win 110-104. That's a tied series at 1 heading to Utah. And the final game last night, before we move on and making headlines, the number 6-seeded Denver Nuggets, they traveled to Golden State for game two. They were down 0-1. They're down 0-2 now. Golden State, they have figured it out when it comes to their starting rotation and who's coming off the bench. With Steph Curry having some injury problems, Jordan Poole has been starting for this Warriors team. He had 29 points as the starting point guard last night for Golden State. 21 for Klay Thompson, 13 for Andrew Wiggins, and oh yeah, Steph Curry, 34 points off the bench, folks. 34 points off the bench. I think he's okay. But if you're the Warriors, look at it this way. Even if Steph Curry comes back as fully healthy, do you change this rotation right now? Why would you? You're up 2-0 in round one. Even if Steph Curry is fully healthy, Jordan Poole is getting it done. Why not let Steph Curry come off the bench and drop 34 points? Because then, if there's a game that Jordan Poole is not playing well, then you bring in, oh, Steph Curry off the bench. Are you serious? That's like 2K's type stuff when you stack a team, right? I would not change it one bit. And even if one game Jordan Poole struggles, I still wouldn't change it. Now, if the switch is on right now, if it turns off and Jordan Poole starts playing horrible, which I don't think is going to happen. I think the guy's extremely good. But if that does happen, then yeah, you mix it around a little bit. You get Steph back into the starting rotation. But right now, you're doing everything you want to do. You're winning games by double digits. And Steph Curry doesn't have to play 40 minutes. That's big time. That will get this Warriors team to the next level in this playoffs. Because down the stretch in the Western Conference Finals and in the NBA Finals, you know who's going to be healthy and energized and ready to go? Steph Curry. And that's the most dangerous thing you can see on a basketball floor. When he gets hot like he was last night, it's unstoppable. It can't be beat. Golden State, they are in some of the best position right now in all of the NBA to make a big-time run. Moving on with making headlines, it is a headline, and Braves fans, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you may want to close your ears. Don't change the channel. Stay right here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports 98.3 Central Alabama. But you may want to plug your ears for a second. It's not a headline, but it really is a headline. Freddie Freeman, of course, gets traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Slow start for Freddie Freeman to this season. Atlanta traveled out to L.A. for a series against the Dodgers. Of course, it's Freddie Freeman's first time playing against the Braves. And what does he do? He just hits his first home run of the season against the Braves, man. You can't write it any better than that. I mean, that is a storybook. That is straight out of a book somewhere. I don't know where, but it's straight out of a book. That's what a player dreams about. Not that he was thinking about smacking a home run against this team, because I think he really did enjoy seeing this team again and catching up with his buddies. I don't know if you saw the video of his son, Charlie. I think that's his name. If that's not it, I'm really sorry. But Freddie Freeman's son was great, great friends with Dansby Swanson, of course, Atlanta's shortstop. They had a great friendship, you know, and a great relationship. I'm sure he looked up to him big time. Freddie Freeman's son up to Dansby Swanson. He saw him last night, took off running after him. They did a hug. It was really, really sweet. If you didn't see the video, it was very touching. But when you're Freddie Freeman or any other player and you get traded to another team, you sign with another team. I should say he did sign with another team. He wasn't traded. He was signed, right? So he's with the Dodgers now. And you play your old team for the very first time. It's bittersweet. And look, Freddie Freeman's a stone-cold killer at times. And he did. He stepped up there and smacked a home run. His first one of the season, his first one with the Dodgers, was against the Braves. You can't write it up any better or worse if you're a Braves fan than that. So I thought it was a headline. It was unique. Twitter had a field day with it, and that's just baseball. That's how it works. So moving on with making headlines, still waiting for Jahni Broome, the Morehead State transfer, to make his decision after visiting Auburn this past weekend with Auburn basketball. Still waiting on his decision. Look, I haven't heard anything really come out of his visit this weekend. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I mean, we haven't heard anything bad, so I'm sure the visit went fine. Again, people wanted him to make a decision and thought he may make a decision this weekend. I didn't think that was going to happen anyway. Even if the trip went really well, I didn't see that happening. And so we're still waiting, and he can kind of take his time and do what he wants to do, and he may be visiting other schools. He may just be deciding what is best for him. But Auburn, I know Auburn basketball, Auburn fans, I'm sure most of the coaches around the country are waiting to see what Jahni Broome is going to do. But, of course, he did visit Auburn this past weekend. He was out with his family and the coaches doing their thing, and I'm sure he got the utmost best treatment from Auburn basketball. I hope he liked Auburn. I'm sure he did. That's what programs That's what programs at Auburn try to sell, is Auburn, not just the program itself, but sell you on Auburn, because it really is a family atmosphere. So still waiting on Jani Broome to make his decision. A couple of other guys Auburn is still waiting on, so we will see where Auburn picks up some guys from the portal, if they get any of them. You know, I mean, you could strike out. You very well could. I don't think that's the case. I think Auburn is very much in the door with some of these guys, but I mean, stuff happens, right? Life happens, and you just never know. Auburn could strike out, but let's hope not for our case as Auburn basketball. And the last making headline. So when I did the show rundown earlier, Kyrie Irving had yet to get fined for his obscene gestures in Boston over the weekend on Sunday. That has since changed. The NBA fined Kyrie Irving $50,000. For his acts in Boston over the weekend. If you didn't see it, Kyrie Irving, not once, not twice, three or four different times, he, after making a play or during a break or something, he let it fly. He had the bird flying a couple of times. He had the middle finger shown to a couple of Boston fans there at TD Garden. The first one, he hit a big three on the wing, was running back down the floor. He turned to somebody and just let him have it. He flipped one at a fan in the stands. There was a time he was standing on the sidelines and he put his hands behind his head and had his middle fingers up at the fans behind him. Look, he was getting heckled like crazy. I mean, they were talking. Boston fans were talking the talk, but he was walking the walk. And I know the Brooklyn Nets didn't win. I know they didn't win. He had a fantastic game. And they were talking to him nonstop, and he kind of had the approach of, why do we as the NBA players, why do we have to be the ones to control ourselves? Why do we have to be the ones that can't say anything back? Because you're getting paid how many millions of dollars, right? How much money are you making right now compared to Joe sitting in the stands that paid $10,000 to see you play? Like, come on now. That's the difference. You are a professional. You are getting paid millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to do what you're doing, to play basketball, right? And I'm not saying shut up and play. I don't agree with that at all. But that's the difference. Yeah, I understand. People are ugly. People are nasty at times. People can be ugly, right? And especially at games like that, and especially with that situation with Kyrie Irving coming back to Boston for the first time since he had not been there anymore, especially in the playoffs. That just elevated it even more. People are going to talk, man. And especially in Boston. Look, I'm a Red Sox and a Bruins fan. I like the Celtics too. Boston fans are ruthless, man. I'm not from Boston, right? Obviously, I am not from Boston. The guys and the girls and the people that are from Boston are, I mean, look, I love the city. I love the fans. I love that atmosphere. But they're ruthless. They do not care about your feelings, especially if you're an opposing player. They do not care. And Kyrie Irving, look, he flipped the middle finger a couple times. He knew he was going to get fined for it, but what's $50,000 to him? To us, it's everything. To him, he won't even see it come out of his bank account. So the NBA fines Kyrie Irving $50,000 for flipping off some fans a couple of times in TD Garden on Sunday as the Brooklyn Nets fall to the Boston Celtics in Game 1. That next game, is it tonight? It's not. It's tomorrow. Wow, I can't believe they had that big of a break. It is tomorrow. So game two tomorrow between Brooklyn and Boston, right back there at TD Garden. So we'll see how it goes. That is making headlines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have a few more minutes before the 3:30 break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. We've got about 5 minutes or so before we head to the 3:30 break here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Phone lines are open. Give me a call during the break, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world. If you have a question, a topic that you're just itching to talk about or hear me talk about, give me a call, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I want to hear from you. I can answer your calls during the break. My show producer, Trevor, out sick today, so just me in here. So call me during the break, and I'll for sure get you on, and we can talk about anything you want to talk about. We've got a few minutes, and the question I want to pose to you is it too early in the MLB season to buy into what has happened so far? Obviously, we're about 10 to 12 games in. And I want to ask you guys, is it too early to buy into what happens in the MLB? There's a long season ahead. There's a lot of games to be played. Is it too early, or are there some situations where you say, wow, that team is that bad already? It's probably going to be that way the whole season. Or the other way, wow, that team is already playing really, really good. They may go the whole way and play like that. Is it too early for that? Is it too early to look into the records and the standings in the MLB right now? I want to hear from you guys, 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Because I'm interested. I want to see what you guys think. My opinion is, yes, it's a little early. You know, when you look at the standings and you look at the records and you look at the stats across the MLB right now, look at the records. We're 10 games in, give or take. You know, you've got 10 to 13 games, realistically, that you are into the Major League Baseball season. You've got the Braves and the Nationals at 7-5, so they're 12 games in, right? So, I mean, you're 10 to 12 games in, like I started out with. So, oh, wow, the Royals have only played 8 games. That's kind of weird. Anyway, you're early in the season. You're less than 2 weeks in. And there's some things that have already been kind of established. Nobody is, I mean, it's too early to say a team has separated themselves. But when you look at wins and losses already, you can kind of see where it's going to go. I think it's too early to really dive into it. But you can also look at it and say, well, that's a surprise to start the season, whether it's a team who's really good. And I don't see any surprises about teams that are the Mets, the New York Mets, 7-3. That's pretty surprising. Is that going to stay the whole season? I doubt it, but they could. They very well could. But the New York Mets being 7-3, it's way too early to say, well, that's a World Series contender right there. Because there's too many games. You're 10 games in, you still have 152 games to go. So that, you know, that's hard to buy into. You look at the Cincinnati Reds. After winning 2 games against the Braves to open up the season, they haven't won since. They're 2-9. They're 2-9. They won the very first game of the season on opening day. They dropped the next 2 against Atlanta, and then they got the series tie against the Braves. But they've lost every game since. 2 games to Cleveland, 4 games to LA, and they lost the first game last night at San Diego. So that's kind of a surprise, right? That's a shock to me. San Diego, 7-5, decent, whatever. The Dodgers, 8-2. They've got the best record in baseball at 8-2. So I still think it's too early. I really do. What do you guys think, though? Are you diving into the MLB as much as you normally do? Is it too early to buy into what you're seeing, and is there a team you're surprised by already, a player that surprises you already, good or bad when it comes to teams and players? And give me a call here in the upcoming break. I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Also during the break, call in. We've got 4 Auburn baseball tickets to give away for the Alabama State game tonight. I know it is going on 3:30. The game is at 6, but if you call in, you have a chance to win 4 baseball tickets to Alabama State tonight. Nobody's called in yet, so how about this? First person to call in, you win. How about that? First person to call in and you want the tickets, you can have them. 4 Auburn baseball tickets against Alabama State tonight, 6 o'clock, Plainsman Park. First person to call in during the break, they're yours. You get 4 tickets. Call in about that. Call in to talk to me. I want to hear from you. We got 30 minutes left in the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned right here on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports, Central Alabama. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. 30 more minutes left in hour number two here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Make sure you stay tuned from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on the same stations, ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama 98.3 in Birmingham and Sylacauga. For the drive from 4 to 6 with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck, I'll be running their board for them, so I'll stay right here in the studio. They'll be on the air, but I'll be right here running the board for them. I may chime in a couple times, maybe, depending on what they're talking about. They have two good guests coming on, Barrett Salee and Jake Crane, so make sure you stay tuned for that. If you missed any of my show here on the line, you can search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Back in hour number one, we had John Whittle, the 24/7 sports writer for the South Carolina Gamecocks. He came on to talk about South Carolina baseball, what to expect from the Gamecocks this weekend as they travel down here to the Plains and take on Auburn baseball for a three-game series over at Plainsman Park this weekend. And then we also talked to him about a little bit of South Carolina football with Spencer Rattler on campus. I said he was a projected starter, but he went ahead and said he's going to be the starter. So we talked to him about that as well. So if you missed any of that interview, it was a great, great time. He had some great insight on that. So make sure you go find that interview in the podcast, On the Line, wherever you get your podcast. Let's talk a little Auburn baseball and softball as well, because that's the only really time we've talked about it today. We have four tickets to give away for Auburn baseball versus Alabama State. If you want them, give me a call during the break. You can have them. Four of them. Auburn versus Alabama State tonight at Plainsman Park at 6. Call in, and if we have multiple people, we'll do a random number generator. It's how I do it every time. If only one person calls, you win. And so give me a call. There's four up for grabs. Or you can tweet at ESPN 106.7 and say, here's my entry, or say something along those lines. And one winner is going to have four tickets to Alabama State and Auburn baseball tonight over at Plainsman Park. 6 o'clock is first pitch there at Plainsman Park. But for Auburn baseball, they've got two games in the midweek before welcoming that South Carolina team this weekend. Of course, they have Alabama State tonight. The tickets were given away. They also have Kennesaw State tomorrow, which is a rescheduled game from a few weeks ago. It got rained out, so they rescheduled it to Wednesday. So that'll be tomorrow. So Auburn with a busy week and weekend coming off of the series loss at Mississippi State. This is a time for Auburn baseball to really bounce back, get a couple of midweek game wins against Alabama State and Kennesaw State. Not saying that they're gimmies, because they're not. They're not gimmies at all. But for Auburn, and this is something that we talked about at the beginning of the season, when Noah Gardner was still on the show, we talked about this. These are the games that Auburn, you have to win. You have to win. Yes, you're probably going to drop one or two here and there, because why? It's baseball, right? But these are the games, especially at this point in the season, as we get near the end of April, these are games that Auburn, you can't afford to lose. You don't need to lose. You need to win these, A, for the experience, B, for the positivity. You need those wins to have all of that. And what's the word I like to throw around? To get the mojo up a little bit. This team is coming off a brutal series loss in Mississippi State, and now they have what? Five straight games at home. This is the time to take advantage of some teams that Auburn is better than. Let's just be honest. Auburn is better than both of the teams in the midweek, Alabama State tonight and Kennesaw State tomorrow. Auburn's better, obviously. So Auburn has to win these games, and not just win, but you're looking to not have to stress about the win and not have to work extremely hard. Or let me say, you should not have to work more than you should to win these games. You shouldn't have to use four or five arms tonight and tomorrow. You can if you're doing it correctly to get more guys in the rotation, to get some more arms working, but you shouldn't have to scramble to win these games this week, tonight and tomorrow. You just shouldn't have to. Auburn if you want to be an elite program, you got to win these games, and they've got to be, you've got to be a dominant team against these other opponents. That's just how it has to go. And then after these games, you have the South Carolina series this weekend, which is a series, if you listened to the interview with John Whittle of 24/7 Sports for South Carolina back in hour number one, if you listen to him talk, that South Carolina team is the worst team offensively in the SEC. They are struggling. They're a struggling ball club. They just are. That's just the fact of the matter with this South Carolina baseball team. And this is where Auburn has to take advantage. You've got to take advantage of a South Carolina team that is looking and desperate for some wins. And can Auburn do it? Yeah, they can. Will they? I think they should. They're at home. And I know you just came off of getting swept. Or not swept, excuse me. You had the loss at Mississippi State, the series loss. You almost got swept. And it was big time that Auburn did not get swept. I'm going to say how important and crucial that was. I know the Drive talked about it yesterday, and they were right. The fact that Auburn did not get swept was big time, because if Auburn goes on the road and gets swept at Mississippi State, I think the energy in the dugout is not good at all. But you were able to salvage a win, and especially on Sunday. You know, after you lose Friday, Saturday, it's really easy to just say, well, there went that, and just kind of give up and get blown out on a Sunday. But Auburn was able to fight back, get the game win on Sunday. You lose the series, but you do get the win. And now you come into the midweek. You've got two games to get wins, and then you have a struggling South Carolina team. Auburn has got to be thinking sweep this weekend. It's crazy in the SEC, but you've got to be thinking sweep against South Carolina this weekend, because you want to know why I say that? Because if you look at Auburn's schedule coming up, they're running out of chances to pick up wins, especially in the SEC if you're Auburn. Because if you look at their record right now, they're 24-12 overall, 8-7 in the conference. When you play a team like South Carolina, this is where you have to extend your wins in the conference. You're 8-7. A series win, bare minimum for Auburn, you go 10-8. And you take a 10-8 record. You know where you take that 10-8 record? After you beat, hopefully you beat South Carolina, you got to go on the road to the best team in college baseball, to Tennessee next weekend. That's tough. That is tough. I mean, you're going to be lucky to win one game there. If Auburn does better than that, everybody will be shocked. And that's not a knock on Auburn. That's just how good Tennessee is. That's a fact. That's how good Tennessee is. They're the best team in college baseball, and it's not even close. It's not even close. And so if you're Auburn, a series like this against South Carolina, you've got to get your wins where you can get them. Because after the Tennessee series, then you have to play Arkansas. They're a top five team right now as well. But then after that, you have an Alabama team that's been in and out of the top 25, and then a struggling Kentucky team. So you have some wins to pick up at the end of the season, but Auburn's about to hit its hardest two-week stretch all season. So you've got to pick up the wins against South Carolina. In my opinion, Auburn baseball, you've got to be thinking sweep, man. You really do. You've got to be thinking, we can sweep this ball club. We can do it. Auburn's good enough offensively where they can do it. And John Whittle was talking about South Carolina not being a good offensive team. What's been Auburn's struggle this year? Pitching. On what day? Saturdays. If Auburn can use this weekend to get a little positivity on the pitching rotation, they can take advantage this weekend of poor hitting from South Carolina, and the pitchers can really have a field day this weekend. And I think they can do that. If Auburn can get the Saturday win, they can sweep. I think they can win Friday and Sunday. You heard Jacob Hillman talk about it on Monday. He's extremely confident Friday and Sunday against almost any team that Auburn faces, starters and the bullpen. It's Saturday where the struggles are coming. And look, Auburn used this weekend to get that where it needs to be before you have to go and play two outstanding teams. Will it happen? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think so. Coming back home at Plainsman Park, you get five straight games at home. Your midweek game next week is at Jacksonville State. So, yes, it's a road game, but you stay in the state, so it's not that bad. Auburn baseball, this is the time. this is the time to pick up some wins, because if you don't, it's going to get ugly in the next couple of weeks. You can pick up some at the end of the season, but by that point, it may be too late. It may be too little, too late. So that's the situation for Auburn baseball. Let's take a look at Auburn softball, because they've been kind of quiet a little bit, especially last weekend, where they had the weekend off in the SEC, and they needed it, man. They needed it really, really bad. They're 32-9 overall, which is fantastic, but they're 7-8 in the conference, which means you're one game below 500, but there's room for you to gain some wins in the conference, because this team is still really good. They are. They're really good, and their offense is the best part of this team. It's been the errors. If you've heard Jacob Hillman or Britt Bowen come on the show and talk about it, it's been the errors, the fielding errors for this team that have really held them back for Auburn softball. Of course, their last SEC series, they get swept on the road at Arkansas. That's not what you want to see. They have Jacksonville State tonight at home at Jane B. Moore Field at 6 o'clock. You would look for them to win that game. They also have Chattanooga tomorrow. I believe that's a makeup game as well for Auburn softball. So baseball and softball both have games tonight and tomorrow. And again, for Auburn softball, you're looking for them to do the same thing as baseball. Pick up your midweek game wins. When and here's the thing, I'm more confident in the softball team to do that than I am the baseball team, because the softball team has dominated in their midweek games. Baseball, there's been a couple times where they've had to earn it. I mean, they've had to grind out some wins in the midweek, and early in the season, they lost one or two, right? So I'm more confident in softball to do that. But then you go on the road again this weekend for Auburn softball. They didn't have to go on the road last week. They got the SEC break. But now they go to Mississippi State, where that's a winnable series if you're Auburn softball. That's a winnable series. Mississippi State is good, not great. Auburn softball is good and better, I think. Maybe not thinking sweep, because you are on the road in the SEC, but you're definitely thinking a series win, right? You are 100% thinking a series win if you're Auburn softball. And it's not something that, well, let's see if we can do it. No, you've got to be thinking, we can do it. We 100% can get a series win against Mississippi State, because then Auburn has to play Georgia, which Jacob Hillman was talking about. I believe he was saying they're a little bit more improved. You've got Tennessee, and then the end of the season, you go to the SEC tournament. So Auburn has a chance, Auburn softball, that is. They have a chance to really do some damage and pick up some wins here down the stretch. Go into the SEC tournament, try to do some damage, and make postseason play. There's a great chance, if the teams do what they need to do, Auburn baseball and Auburn softball can both be in the tournament. They can be in postseason play. They can do it. It's going to take some work, and they've left some meat on the bone to this point in the season, but it's nothing that they can't get rid of. It's nothing that they cannot get out of. I really do think that both of these teams can and will make the postseason. It's going to take a good stretch and a good run down the end of this season and into the SEC tournament. I think both teams are going to have a big performance in their respective tournaments, but I would love to see both teams in the postseason. I know you would as well, and I think they can, and I think they will, but it's going to take some work. I hope they can, and we'll see how the seasons turn out, but Auburn baseball and softball both have midweek non-conference games tonight, and then tomorrow they both have rescheduled games. I believe softball's is as well. I know baseball's is, but Auburn baseball, softball both have games tonight and tomorrow, 6 o'clock in the non-con schedule. Let's head to our final break of the Tuesday edition. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Tuesday edition of the show. We've got about 5 more minutes or so left in the Tuesday edition right here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Make sure you stay tuned from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on the same stations. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. They have a couple of guests coming on today, so make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll be sitting right here in the studio running their board as Drew is out this week. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Should be a great show again with those guys. Had a lot of fun doing that yesterday. So should be another great show with The Drive from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. There's big news. The Auburn Network family of stations has grown. Please help us welcome our new baby brother station, Tiger Country 104.5. When you're in the mood for some country music, real country music as it was meant to be, check out the all-new Tiger Country 104.5 for the best country music ever made, period. Songs range from the late 60s to the early 2000s, but the heart and soul of Tiger Country is found in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Our massive song library is like no other you'll find anywhere. Not streaming, not satellite, and certainly not on your radio dial. Imagine, the greatest country music playlist ever. Give it a try the next time you're in the mood for some real country, true country music. Tiger Country 104.5. So make sure you check that out. After all of our shows go off the air, make sure you tune over to Tiger Country 104.5. For that, it's a great station, and it's a new station that Auburn Networks has brought you here in the Auburn-Opelika area. That is Tiger Country 104.5. If you missed any of today's show, just search On The Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded following today's show. So again, go find that wherever you get your podcast. Just a couple minutes before we get out of here. Again, The Drive will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on the same stations. And I want to talk about how Auburn football has bought in to recruiting. And when I say that, I'm talking about the Tiger Takeover, I believe it's called, that Auburn football has decided they wanted to do. I think it's a fantastic idea. They have broken up the entire state of Alabama. They've taken the coaching staff, and they've said, go. And they are all on their own out and visiting every single high school in the state of Alabama. Now, that's big time. That is huge. And the way they're doing it is, I was listening to The Drive yesterday. They were talking about how the coaches are, they've all gotten broken up into different segments of the state, and they are visiting every single high school in the entire state of Alabama. Whether they're recruiting a kid from there or not, they are still going to that high school, making themselves known, making their presence heard, and saying, Auburn football is here, we're interested in your school, and we want to have a relationship with you. This is not something we saw just a few months ago from Brian Harsin and his quote-unquote staff, because it has rotated quite a bit. But, I mean, definitely the reports coming out of the football program a couple of months ago were, is Brian Harsin even recruiting? Like, what was going on? It was dead in the water, and since then, it has taken a complete 180, and I think it will continue to rise. And this is a great idea for Auburn because, again, there were reports that some of the, even just the major high schools in the state of Alabama had not even seen Brian Harsin. And whether that's true or not, I'm sure when there's smoke, there's fire in this situation. And now that Auburn football has bought into the idea of, we've got to get in these high schools because high school coaches are where it starts. If the high school coach says, you don't want to go there, that coach, I haven't even seen him, the player's probably going to listen, and Auburn's going to miss out on recruits, and I think they figured that out. And so the entire coaching staff has been broken up, divided across the state of Alabama, and they are visiting every single high school across the state in the next couple of weeks. I think it's great. That is such a great plan. I don't know how they broke it up or who got where or whatever, but it's fantastic. And I like the fact that it's not just the schools that they're actively recruiting kids at, or just the big, big schools in the state of Alabama. They're going to every single high school in the state of Alabama. Why? Because you never know who's going to be there. You never know when that coach is going to go and take a bigger job at a better school. And you never know, again, you just never know what kid's going to walk through the door and step on the football field that you may say, wow, he's a superstar. He wasn't there 3 years ago, but I'm glad that we stepped on campus and we stepped in the door and made ourselves known because now we got a shot. So Auburn football trying to do the right things. Is it too little too late? I hope not. I don't think so. I don't think it is. It could be. But you know what it comes down to. You know what this program comes down to. You know what this coaching staff's future comes down to. It comes down to results. It comes down to winning football games on the field. That's going to be this fall. If Auburn can win some games, I think there's a bright future ahead. But it starts on the field. You got to get some wins. That's it for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.